The committee, the House Judiciary Committee will come to order.
We'll call the roll.
Brown.
Here.
Harrison.
Here.
Saul.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Todd.
Excuse.
McPherson. Skelton.
Here.
Here. Skelton and Hans are excused today. Well, someone refresh my memory. If I remember correctly, we finally concluded relative to the JP court that we would not tend to write the letters, but we were simply going to try to get the caseload statistics. Is that correct?
No. We're going to write letters, I thought. We counted.
That's what I had thought, and then I thought that there was a suggestion that we go the statistics.
I think that's talked about Walt having technology already. I think the letter to the
All right, would you have any objection if I postpone writing the letters for a little while so I can get some more information? Let the record show that there are no objections.
Sometimes stuff with the sound guy.
That's wrong. Most air problems that I'm not aware of. Okay. This was sent to us by the Highway Department as Representative Wallace Carson, Representative Thomas Young's name. I'm going to delete Wallace Carson and put McPherson, who I think is more interested in this particular respondent.
Second time today, that's it.
Respondents three on the beach bill.
Oh.
Which may be of some. So why don't you cross your name out to put McPherson to the Wallace? Yeah, I want to be right. You wrote F-I-N-K.
Was this just filed on?
I assumed it hadn't been too long ago. But it may be with me.
Thank you.
Okay, our agenda today calls for three hearings. And after the hearings, we will then have a work session. The first bill is Senate Bill 188 relating to corporations, and we have Mr. Frank, he's the Corporation Commissioner here. There was only one appellate brief, and I have that. And you are more than welcome to look at it. I just sort of want to keep tabs of it. It's in my desk drawer in the office here. Mr. Harrison, I just told Mr. Cole that the good guy's brief, quote, your interpretation of the good guy's brief is in my office. You have a copy of the respondent's brief, which says Representative Carson's name on it. That's for your information. Okay, House Bill 188. It's Senate Bill 188, Mr. Haley.
The gentleman, this makes a minor amendment to both the corporation law, all the corporations for games, nonprofits, and the co-op. And I'll discuss them by sections and any questions that have to be responded. Sections 2 of the bill permit the reservation of a corporate name by a cooperative corporation under Chapter 62. This is a provision in the business law that was left out of the co-op law. Section 3 of the bill makes some changes in the case of a stock dividend. Presently, in the case of a stock dividend for par value shares, the value of such dividend, if it exceeds the par value of those shares, is credited to capital surplus. In the case of the issuance of no par value shares, in the first instance, the designation as to what portion of the consideration goes to stated capital and what portion goes to paid-in surplus or capital surplus is left to a resolution of the Board of Directors. There's no provision similar to that in the case of a stock dividend and no part of that is shared. So the point of this amendment is to authorize the directors when declaring such a stock dividend to allocate as between the total value of that dividend as between stated capital and capital surplus, and then advise the shareholders of that. Section 4 of the bill permits, under the present law, the foreign corporation may make application to amend its qualification to business in this state and then it changes its name. However, the law provides that if the corporate name of such foreign corporation is not available for use in this state, then it may file and assume business name to be used in this state. So this permits amendment of the application to qualify in the event they change their assumed business name as well as change their corporate name. Section 5 of the bill makes minor modifications in the service of process procedure. In the last session, we amended the service of process procedure to conform with the guest motor, the motor vehicle provisions, and we overlooked making an amendment in this particular section, so this is intended to conform to the changes that we made in the last section. Section 6 of the bill changes the requirements for restated articles in the case of nonprofit corporations. We have changed those for profit corporations, but overlooked doing that for nonprofit corporations in the last session. This simply eliminates the necessity for nonprofits in such restated articles to set forth the present name of their registered agent and registered office. Such inclusion in the restated article serves no practical purpose in any event. The Section 7 amends the law so that in the case of a dissolution of a nonprofit corporation where they do not have officers, the articles may be signed by a majority of the directors. This conforms the factors to corporations for gain. And this applies in the instance of where the nonprofit corporation has not completed its organization or for some reason has not elected officers. We can now accept their articles of dissolution as signed by a majority rather than requiring that they go through the procedure of electing some officers to sign the articles of dissolution. Sections 8 and 9 make some changes in our fee structure. Presently, we're advised by the state auditor that for certified copies or certificates of incorporation, we must charge the 50 cents per page or $2 per certificate to anyone that requests it from the governor's office on ground. So we are proposing here that we be offered that state agencies or municipalities or county governments be relieved of having to take any charge for certified copies or certificates from our office. This does not involve a great deal of really the critical use of this is made by district attorneys and various types of criminal proceedings. It's a nuisance factor from our standpoint to have the bill when it causes some misunderstanding when they receive the bill from us. So we felt that it would be easier and it has no practical effect on the revenues of our office. Now also with this bill, the perhaps representative of McPherson would want to discuss this. Ken Hergeman is an attorney in Portland, has sent to us a copy of the proposed amendment to Senate Bill 188 that relates to the authority of the corporation to identify its directors. And he has proposed this as an amendment to our bill. We have no objection to it as an amendment. However, I don't think it's particularly appropriate for our office to take any position on whether it's going to pass legislation other than to say that I understand that this is a provision taken from the Model Code, which is the basis of our act, and is being enacted in Delaware and Maine and perhaps is being proposed in other states. Certainly as a result of our disease and some of the other problems, there will be much more interest in this area now. If there are any questions, Mr. Chairman, please respond.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Mr. Haley. Are there any questions, Mr. Haley?
I'm aware to declare a conflict of interest. Mr. Haley's daughter is my favorite babysitter, so I have a conflict of interest here.
Well, relieve the pony.
Richie, yeah.
Mr. Haley, on a corporation file, the application to do this, then they're also required to find a law out to file that, assume business application. Is that correct?
Only if they are going to do business in their state under some name other than their corporate name, or if their corporate name conflicts with the name that we have on record, then we can't call them unless they want to do business in the state under some other name.
Okay, so in a few situations, then, as you said, it's required to file a some business application.
This is beside the point, but what if one were to start a corporation and they wanted to know if the name was available in all 50 states, is their only avenue to write to the corporation commissioner in each state to find out if that name's available?
Yes.
And you do have some system whereby you can reserve the name without paying money or anything for a period of
time? Well, we have an informal practice. If someone called to find out whether or not a name is available, and then find a particular name is available, then we will informally hold that name. Of course, we have no statutory authority to hold it for someone else to insist on filing. There is a procedure for formally reserving a name, paying a $5 fee, and that reserve for the name for 120 days.
Are there any more questions to Mr. Haley? Thank you very much. We appreciate your being here. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 188? If not, then that concludes our hearing on Senate Bill 188. Senate Bill 250. Ron Watson.
Ron Watson, appearing for the Oregon State Bar, who requested these two bills. Very briefly, both of these bills are what I would classify as housekeeping bills.
Excuse me, you say both the bills, you're talking about 250 and 251,
yes.
Correct?
Okay. Both these bills are essentially housekeeping bills to acquaint the committee with this matter. Initially, the only district court in the state of Oregon for many years was the district court for Multnomah County. I believe early in the 1950s, it started establishing district courts throughout the other counties of the state. Since that time, many bills and additions were made to the chapter on district courts, creating distinctions which we feel are obsolete, and the purpose of this bill is to eliminate these. For instance, looking at Senate Bill 250, looking at subsection 46.099. Now, under the existing statute, only in counties outside of Multnomah County can a circuit court judge enter the act in temporary absence of a district court judge. In Multnomah County, this cannot occur. For a quick reference here, 0.010 refers to district court in Multnomah County. 0.025 refers to district court in all of the counties but Multnomah County. So going down the section one, all this would do would be to eliminate any reference to the district courts outside of Multnomah County, thereby making it throughout the state that any circuit court judge in the absence of a district court judge in that same county could temporarily act as a district court judge. Section two, the effect of this would be at the present time, if a case is tried without a jury in the district court in Multnomah County, they could request written findings of fact and conclusions of law. Under district court's Multnomah County, all this does is wipe out that section of district courts organized under 40.010 and makes it uniform throughout the state. So, if, assuming the bill was to be passed in the district courts throughout the state, the court would not be required to make any written findings of fact or conclusions of law where the matter involved is less than $50. And in all other cases, you only have to make it if there is a written. And that's specifically requested by one of the parties at the commencement of the action. Section 3. In the district courts throughout the state, with the exception of Multnomah County, upon the request of either plaintiff or defendant, the court may appoint a stenographer to record the proceedings. This will eliminate the reference to the other district courts throughout the state so that it's uniform throughout the state. If the request is made, then the court may appoint a reporter or stenographer. Section 4 now allows an appeal may be taken from the Supreme Court when any part of any judgment decree or other final order of the circuit court upon appeal from the district court in a manner provided for appeal from the circuit court. This provision that, as it exists, does not apply to district court in Multnomah County, and therefore we are making eliminate any reference to the district courts outside of Multnomah County, thereby making it uniform district courts throughout the state. Section 5. In this one, the reason for the change here, we eliminate any reference to the district courts outside of Multnomah County. Because by inference, we felt through this section as it exists, believes that somebody who is not an attorney practicing in this state could practice law in district court in Multnomah County. Because in this section they said that, or they could practice law. District judge in Multnomah County, we feel, could practice law in existing law, so we want this deleted, making it uniform. So state that if you're a district court judge, you can't practice law. Sections 46, 670, and 710 are repealed. One of these refers to an old law which compelled the district court judges from Multnomah County to be in their offices from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon every day except legal holidays and Sundays, which you mean it should be during Saturday.
I think that's a good law.
I think that's a good law, Mr. Watson.
We're trying to
get an
We feel that the district court judges for this is just a side district court judges for Multnomah County are being penalized to the exclusion of the other judges from the state. We're not compelled.
As I understand, the bill, Mr. Watson, you're trying to get Multnomah in step with the rest of the state. A uniformly try to get the rest of the state in step with Multnomah.
This is only by the Multnomah County, and we are trying to eliminate to make them uniform with the rest of the state.
It's a pleasure to find a killing appeal on that.
Now, Ron, would you be willing to answer questions before you go to 251?
Yes.
Mr. Young.
I just wanted to know, maybe we interrupted him here. What's 46710 experience?
I was just going to get to that. That is the provision just relating to Multnomah County, providing for the election and compensation of the clerk of the Multnomah County District Court, appointment and compensation of a deputy. We have no such person in Multnomah County since we adopted home rule. There's no district court clerk or deputy district court clerk anymore. It simply is. There is obsolete. It has no effect. Clean as we say, this is primarily a house cleaning bill. Deadwood.
available for questions on 250.
All right. Are there any questions of Mr. Watson on Senate Bill 250? If not, then, Ron, why don't you go to Senate Bill 250?
251 revised the qualification for district court judge to conform generally to those for circuit court judges. Again, in 46610, they distinguished between the qualification between the county having a population of 500,000 or more. And we examined this qualification relationship to the other chapters relating to court judges, and we in all respects attempted to make this uniform, the qualifications for district court judges, for a circuit court judge and district court judge to be uniform. So here is simply, we'll delete much of the language, 46610, section 1. Just to bring that down so that you'll be a citizen of the United States, 21 years of age, a resident of this state, and a member of the Oregon State Bar. Subsection 2. This section, this is to conform with the circuit court, and the kind of thing that went back to circuit court many years ago, where the many of them live in parts of the metropolitan area and accidentally on purpose resided maybe in Lake Oswego, and there were circuit court judges in Portland, Baltimore County. They revised it so that they could live in another county, in the county where they were a judge, and they put it to 10 miles from the county courthouse, and therefore we made this change to conform district court to the circuit court. And again, subsection 3, this was added to make it uniform. Residents within the state required by subsection 1 of this section shall have maintained for at least 3 years, and the residents or principal officers required of subsection 2 of this section shall have been maintained for at least 1 year community prior to appointment to become the county secretary to the office of the judge of the district court. So again, this whole purpose of this whole bill is to conform it as much as possible with the circuit court judge and the uniform qualifications.
Thank you, Ron. Mrs. Brown.
I don't know if I've read it carefully enough, but are you defeating the 3-year experience requirement?
No, you will see that and make it feel clearer. We put that down in 3. See, you need it in 1 and put it down in 3. So that now subsection 1 is very close now in the reading of it to the circuit court. In other words, to set it up comparable as close as we could to the circuit court, just in that setup. But the 3 years which we deleted in subsection 1 is down in subsection 3.
Yeah, but I thought 3 year in 1 was an experience requirement. And isn't it the residence requirement, or is it also an experience requirement?
No, it's a residence requirement.
Well, I thought if it's commonly read, it was an experience requirement.
Well, it's formally written, he shall be, and for 3 years next in the election as we decided in the district in which you keep the election, the lines 8, 9, and 10.
He had been engaged there in the active practice of attorney.
Yes, I see your distinction, but there's no distinction in that. That's my knowledge of the election for a circuit court that required to practice law for 3 years before they're appointed to a bench.
I thought they were. They have a 3-year requirement of experience.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Watson? Mr. Young.
Ron, I can't seem to find it here. Someplace along the judicial council, I know, it's recommended the establishment of district court I'm thinking now mostly about Eastern Oregon, where they take two judicial districts in the same. Seems to me the contempt court just to be combined for the purpose of district court only. And that may not be exactly correct, but there's something along that line that the judicial council would recommend that some combining some judicial districts for the purpose of just the district court. Now, what's going to happen in this, when you get down to your step two, about this residence requirement, where it says the judge of the district court shall be a resident of or have his principal office in the county in which the district court is located.
But of course, when you get into that situation, it's just the same as your circuit court. You have a circuit court judge, for instance, I'm thinking of a district comprised of Sackville, Columbia, and Tillamook. Now, of course, you have a circuit court judge, he's appointed for that judicial district, which encompasses many counties, two to three counties.
Right.
And so, and therefore, I think it'd be the same judge appointed there. This is the general requirement for a circuit court judge, and this, there's been no problem arising under that, because that's if you're a circuit court judge, you're a circuit court judge for each, for that whole judicial district encompassing them. I think a district court for Eastern Oregon would be on the same basis.
Okay. Just so we don't have to amend this with consolidate those over there. I'm not hung up, I think the purpose is right, but...
Yeah, I can't hear, and I believe that it was fine. I don't have a sense here, but his intent was, and the purpose of drafting this was, in all respects, make it as uniform as possible with the circuit court. We saw no reason why there should be any distinction between the qualifications for a district court judge and a circuit court judge.
Any other questions, Mr. Watson? I have one, Ron. I certainly appreciate what you're trying to accomplish. I just wonder, you know, why they're so reluctant to live in Multnomah County.
As much of the desirable land is already taken up. With the freeways being as they are, you'll find that more and more people are commuting from the great county of Washington, out the freeway, and expanding, of course, the Sunset Highway out against 12 miles. And of course, Oswego has been a very desirable area along there. And you don't have to go very far on the west side to get out past Multnomah County. It's actually right up to the prison. And this went back, I think, six or eight years ago, where some of them just resided. For many years, they have lived, as practicing attorney, they lived just maybe in Oswego, or maybe over time around Milwaukee, or maybe out in Washington County, and then they became a judge. And then the old law was that they have to move back into the county. And so this law was then changed.
Where is the 10-mile limit from the courthouse? Is that what we're measuring from?
I think taken from the court.
Would that include Lake Oswego? Would it include Oregon City?
No. Oregon City, I think, is approximately 18 miles out.
The courthouse is the boundary of the county.
Excuse me, I stand to be corrected. I stand to be corrected. 10 miles from the boundary of the county, Mr. Chairman, so he could live in Oregon City from the boundary. I'm correct, but you're within 10 miles of the boundary of the county.
Oh,
we could live in Oregon City.
Okay, are there any other questions of Mr. Watson? Yes, Mr. Frost.
Well, I very much agree with the residency requirement for 3 years, whatever it may be. But just for the committee, for the investigative information, we're hopeful of getting this circuit. Thank you.
circuit court judge, you're thinking of accepting an appointment as district court judge?
District court, please. I think I'm fully in agreement with the theory. But like all good theories, in fact, sometimes create problems.
I'm saying a fraud to think this is for that is to bring the salary adjustment according to the request that came out of our committee. It's down at the legislature right now where we're trying to bring it in line with the reasonable amount with other states. And I think we'd have no problem with that sometimes to get ample qualified people. The recommendation which is made is in conformity with we'd still be behind if adopted, would be behind California and the state of Washington. Even if the amount granted was earned today, the state of Washington in legislature passed in the last short time there. The circuit court, their superior court judge is comparable to our circuit court, and now grant an increase to 25,000.
Well, I knew I should be doing that.
Yeah, that really is sort of beyond the scope of this bill, Mr. Frost. Are there any other questions, Mr. Watson?
Thank you very much for honoring me.
Does anyone else have care to give any testimony on either Senate bills 250 or 251? Not that then concludes our hearing. All right. Dale Harlan, the former or last vice chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, welcome to our hearing.
Thank you.
We're discussing three bills today, one relating to corporations, two relating to district judges. We just learned that, or I just learned at least, that the district court should have been kept open 6 days a week, except on Sundays and legal holidays in Multnomah County.
Okay.
I just wondered if you could report that this has been done.
No, it hasn't.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay, that's all we had scheduled for the full committee. We'll then go into a work session. And you're welcome to stay if you'd like, Dale.
I just want to see your smiling face.
Okay. McPherson, Young, Cole, and Tim are working on the amendments to the beach bill. Hopefully, they will be ready either on Friday or on Monday for them to begin work on this. Can you tell me, any of the three of you, whether there are any policy decisions that you think we ought to be making today on the beach bill?
I don't know how Tom feels about it or George, but one policy decision is that you got to, you know, when you have sufficient people, is education versus 1045. That would simplify our work a lot. Well, I think that's a major decision that we'd like to have kind of decided so that we can proceed.
Well,
can I ask a question?
Yes.
I'd like to get close to the answer to it. What if we took, I realize it'd be redoing the line, but what if we took the line, rather, and they have it reinterpreted the line, 1045, it doesn't quite meet the input data plan. They call it. What if we realigned it to today's vegetation line as shown by the map? And then we meet those who say it ought to be on the vegetation line. Try to, someplace that's 5 feet away, someplace that's right on the line, and someplace that's 50 feet away. Put it right on top of today's vegetation line. And then the vegetation line can move backwards and forwards. We don't have to follow the grass the way it grows. Unless we come back and through the procedures we have, implement it. Could that be done? Couldn't we then gain both those who are fighting for the quote vegetation line, not knowing what it is, and also those who'd rather have corn?
Well, if the facts that we received are reliable, there's only 5% of the entire coastline that would be inland of the present 1045 line.
Right.
So we're really not talking about much change, whether you put it off in the vegetation or you leave it as it is. But whatever, it doesn't make any difference. I talked to state engineer and they can change the coordinate on paper. So whatever this committee needs to do. The other thing is, and Gordon and George have a point, and that's maybe readjusting the line in connection with bays and estuaries. I think they have a good point. But those things can be done by a surveyor across the street. But I think it would be helpful for us to know if the committee would prefer to get out or look at first to go on 1045 generally or vegetation line, and then we can sit down and incorporate.
Yeah. Maybe I just need to make a sense of making my point. Can't we do a vote? Can we satisfy...
It's already on the vegetation line except for 5% of it.
I know, but we don't have the support of those who are fighting for the vegetation line. That's quite obvious. That answer, with which I agree, certainly hasn't stemmed the flow of two solid days of testimony. And here are those who are fighting to change it back to the vegetation.
We want to retreat.
Yeah.
That's their big point. Vegetation dies off, they want to go with it.
They want it to move as a vegetation.
Yes, except I'm thinking primarily of the statement of, and you can correct me, of Secretary Straub, who's certainly been an advocate of the vegetation line, that he was not unwilling to have it adjusted by coordinates as opposed to following it by the natural change of the vegetation line. And maybe I'm misunderstanding him, but it seems to me that his main thrust was to establish it today on the vegetation line, and he would not be unwilling to require the highway department, whenever there's been a serious change, to come back to this legislature and have us change the line.
I think that's right.
It seems to me, if that is correct, that we could pick up those who have clung to the vegetation line willy-nilly, and also those of us who are clinging to the border line. Because if you point, we're only 5% apart. And that's kind of a shame to have when it's probably over 5%.
What would it cost?
It's just a matter of taking those aerial maps and a blue pencil.
They have their point, reference points established. Apparently, it's just a matter of sitting down and redrawing it and computing it as a surveyor would.
And you're suggesting we still have a legal description put in the bill.
Indeed. But we changed the coordinates, the max vegetation line, so that today, 1959, the line is on the vegetation line, except for the few places, the obvious places where it spurts out, where tree tufts of grass, or that sort of thing, we draw on what we can see in the vegetation.
I looked at the aerial maps today, and I think that 5% is entirely in Clatford County, because definition of line of natural vegetation, which is in the governor's proposal, growth of natural vegetation which spreads continuously inland. And from the South Jetty down to the across to the Gearhart city limits, there's about 200 to 300 feet of dry unvegetated sand between the coordinate line and what possibly could be classed as vegetation. It's a forage is what it is. It has grass on it. Some places it has more vegetation than that, some places it doesn't. It hit the Gearhart city limits, so it's just north of the Gearhart city limits, the Palisades area. Still maintains 200 to 300 feet of dry of bare sand to where possibly it might be classed as vegetation, and it's another 500 to 600 to 700 feet. feet to the shared city limits. But where the house is. Get down to Seaside, except for about two blocks with 50 feet from the prom, it runs 100 to 150 feet from the prom all the way down to 2 miles of Seaside. From that point on, from the coal lawn, it's vegetation all the way down to the crest. That's a pretty big chunk of ground to the north, but particularly when it's under the definition of vegetation.
What is the definition of natural vegetation?
Spreads continuously inland.
Natural growth that spreads continuously inland. And what is natural growth?
Well, that's likely for the focus of
the semi-microscopic sense, but
I just... Would this discourage
the bottom?
Would this discourage the planting of grass, George?
Well, I don't know if it's planted. But the bottom picture is an example of what most of that would probably look like.
Well, it was my understanding that you can't go in and plant grass. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Highway Department, because that's what someone said, we may or may not sue you. start funding. And it'll time to protect his bank without having to get a permit from the state highway engineer.
You got another little problem.
Well, you have a limit on that, so this is one of your proposals to apply it only in case of an emergency. Some people would prefer anyway.
But under test cannon, it says natural vegetation and the Gordon line, you need no permit to do improvements between 16-foot or Gordon line and the natural vegetation line. Need no permit now.
But they may sue you.
Oh, yeah.
They may sue you if you attempt.
Right.
Well, what is the committee's desire?
To remove the Gordon line for all purposes and not to go to 444.
All right. This project is moved to accept the coordinate line for all purposes. Further discussion?
Yes.
Does Mr. Brown's motion mean that that line, considering what Mr. Carter said, is considering the problem in today's situation, his motion is not to accept it as stated, but to use a coordinate line, whatever we do, is that right, as opposed to a vegetation line?
Yeah.
Right. Is Wally's completely in front of you?
I didn't hear you.
Is Wally's suggestion impossible of putting the coordinate on the vegetation?
Well, it's not necessarily incompatible with Dave's motion. The point is, if we vote aye, if I intend to vote, it means to abandon the natural vegetation line in this line.
Not these coordinates.
That's correct. I would continue to argue that we ought to try to establish it as opposed, but I'm not believing that. I don't want to honor the vegetation. I want to complete the same time to the court. So I prefer to have it regardless of the Wally's approach.
But
we still have to readjust some of those courses. Whether we went down line on line here, but we put some Van Estuary trouble, but I think it should be good.
Yeah, but I think we want to have the policy that we were going to try to put the coordinates on the vegetation.
There's a problem with that, Eddie, and that for me, not for a lot of you, and that is that putting people on the coast is pretty well reconciled, 16-foot elevation on anything that pretty much follows that. And 1045 does, you can accept today's network. It will be a lot more palatable for them to avoid the spikes and approach it further up the beach on the vegetation. They already are stuck with 16, and this one follows it pretty close.
I agree that this is the reverse side of the same coin, that we have substantial number of our people, both in the legislature and in their public offices, and those who tend to walk the beach, that are hanging tough on that little 5% on the station line. And I know you're right, but I have a feeling that we better bring our amendments and we'll get the state map so we can all sit out and see where we're at. But I have a feeling that people that are the proponents of the vegetation really haven't looked where the Gordon line is right now.
That's probably true.
I don't think they've advised themselves very well because it's really not out of whack.
I agree.
That's
what my county, she's right on that vegetation line from Seaside South.
And if we make minor 5% or 10% adjustments, it just seems to me that that would stop all of the disagreement on that element of it. But I think we can give the, if we all agree.
Why are they open that time? That's really what I don't understand.
Because you mean the subcommittee or the other people?
The other people.
What we just call it?
Presentation line.
Well, I can leave it where it is.
No.
We define vegetation as provided by law.
Provide with a state as well. And so prohibit the state highway department planning vegetation inward or seaward.
My answer would be no, we can say we want.
I'd like to have one more thought on this committee. Now we've got the state highway department, the director, they're authorized to PT to the LLC. Now, if we're going to take the property, I'm trying to say the director to maintain the beach. That's what we're going to do at the state, we're going to look after it, but I don't know whether the committee wants to go that far.
I would favor that.
Well, Mr. Carter, I think that under the present system, the landowner must know of the trap, pitfall, whatever more is liable. But I suspect, mind the fact that we have a state program that the state can't be sued for his name. If it's directed to police, they're not protected against trespassers or whatever, but to pick up all the bottles and cans. And if I cut my foot in that area, I think the state would be liable.
Okay, don't they need more to go than the fire from the owner, because again, the exercise of legal ability to should or should.
But the property owner today has no statutory duty to police his yard. And we're saying the state does. I grant you, if you could transfer whatever the private owner has over to the state to help out the private owner, but I think any way we do it, we're setting the state up for a shot in the mouth.
They usually are required and are liable both legally and the police. The other parts require, after having paid compensation, the state.
All right, then if they require the police, then I'd say they'd be able to lay pipes on it. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to say, if we're creating a state recreation area, now becomes some new ownership of title, which you've got to clarify for scripture, because you very carefully put it out, and up to the point I agree with you, that you can't, because you got to write the water process, you don't necessarily have to go and you got to write the water process, you must, by statute, have the duty to clean it all out.
Let's take the state park example. They're directed to maintain and skip title, free title.
All right.
And you step on a bottle there. They're going to be, can they be sued under the...
They can now, okay.
Although there is no state law requiring the highway department to make...
The police.
Yes.
The state park. I don't object to them big money coming in to clean up the vehicles. It's impractical, but I don't want to...
It's called...
If there is going to be no obligation on the part of the state to police these areas, I would like to see a policy to see it made in regards to giving some authority to cities to exercise the management over the beaches that we're going to boundary lines in, because these are tourist beaches. Someone has to maintain them, clean them. The city is going to have the right to do this, except getting a permit from the state. You're going to have some problems, right? Maintaining the beaches in a way which the public wants to maintain. Same applies to providing lifeguards, which they just met, and things of that nature. Sand removal and excavation where it's necessary to protect crops that are cutting the beach. If they're not going to have this authority to do this, except on permit, I think you're going to find that the beaches aren't going to be kept up the way the public wants to. But it costs money to do it.
Mr. Frog.
Well, the word was for the police. And the state shall provide.
I just wanted to be honest. If the state does deliver reasonably, I don't see them picking up, as I say, the skills, but I think you have to apply a reasonable container, container for a minimal amount of litter, take it off, and but if the word is so that we would encourage them, direct them to make an attempt or something, but to give them the authority to do, and I don't think there's a person here that could honestly say that that job can be done with any reasonable. We're not talking about the floor of a grocery store. We're talking about 350 miles of open ocean beaches and bear camps and that stuff. Well, yeah. We're talking about...
I know people in my county, Wally, who consistently, every day they go down the beach and clean up bottles and cans and give it to the public service, and they ask the service club to do it. And they ask Boy Scout troops to do it. And they call me and told me if this bill passes that they are not going to do that anymore. And I'm sure it's in their hand, but I can tell you about the thousands of the bottles they found on their beach in Central City after a weekend. Public being there, and I just agree with naturally I would, you know, because we're in our backyard when we come for the weekend. If the state's going to say these are the recreation areas for the use of people, state of Oregon, people are going to have some requirement that they do something for maintaining their cleanliness.
I guess that at all. I think require them to keep it thick and tail, which is what it means to me, and making an affirmative statutory duty, and the slightest violation thereof becomes, in my book, negligence as a matter of law. It is too hard to do it by, they had once authorizing, or they suggest the state shall provide reasonable means for
appropriation of some money, perhaps.
I'm not averse to make them clean up, but
I'd almost forego the capital wage and put the $2 million into this.
Well, so would I. The police. Not the police.
Well, I don't think it's so far. I think it's a matter of law, and I don't foresee any great enough losses being brought to people cutting up people and watching where they're going, putting involved in their talking with the car.
You got any in there for a negligence defense in there?
In Delhi?
Yeah.
You don't see
the proof that you've got. How long have we been there?
We've been there for a week.
Doesn't have to be.
What?
you have to believe that you have an affirmative question. It doesn't say anything about shall reasonably maintain a state of cleanliness. It says it shall police.
You supposed to use to a broken bottle down yourself and walked over and stepped on it, you could recover?
Probably not, but I did it myself. But all I had to prove is I did not step on it.
How about if you're out there soon, though, stepped on it?
Well, if my intoxication didn't have anything to do with stepping on it, if I got the top of my foot, I'm blocking it with the top. I've got my knee. Feeling my elbow.
What's the committee's desire?
Well, I think from what we've said, that the feeling that the state should provide reasonable means of maintenance of the public recreation areas. So the wording is something in there.
Now we just have a policy. What was the policy again?
But, you know, we did comparison.
If you, without the direction or even with it, are we putting a cost of that on them to do this without funding?
They're just going to say, we know that the area is a mess, and we just don't have the crew or the money to get out there to clean up.
Well, if they're litter pickers, they'll come out of the highway, another ambulance litter to pick up on the state highway so they can move the beach.
They've got sufficient money.
If you're not going to get funding, why are you going to get them to stay out on the road and pick up litter?
Oh, yeah, but guys,
Well,
I think one thing we all have to do is backhand them and return them a bottle. That's all, man. You good? Betty? Okay. You have a motion that we generally accept the coordinate line. In other words, I understand it's not necessarily the precise line within 1045, but the idea of coordinates versus a 16-foot line. Any questions? If not, all in favor, we'll vote aye. If you need to call, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Brown.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Then, Mike, do you want to vote Tom and Gordon on this other deal? Because as far as I know, I feel very similar to Wally as to what I think the state's duty is, and any acceptable language that you can come up with. And,
well, let's try out the language.
All right. See what comes up. Okay. Anything further that we should resolve on the beach bill?
We have no policy on the policing yet.
What Bays and Estuary, is that something we should discuss? Why don't you draw a picture of your problem on Bays and Estuary so they can...
All right. If you want to do that now.
Well, we don't want you to stick
No cameras.
Why don't we refer back to Waste and Means?
Okay. I'm sorry to see if it ever was there.
Well, we're going to skip the policing for now.
Well, we just sort of generally to discuss it. We don't have any precise words. This is what people have to work out.
I think we're kind of off to firm up something better than what we've got now.
Right.
One, they cleaned up the whole area, no matter what the cost. And two, if they're failure to clean it up, constant payments and all of those things.
How long? Do you have any problem with that? Do you think they do? We're talking about cleaning up the beach.
Yeah, you talk about non-natural.
They call that litter. I don't like log, but it's a litter.
No,
I mean, I feel like it's litter and something. If I don't run mess going, I don't know what they do. If they're out there, they use something to... I'm a horse. To me,
I would just say you have a horse is curious. Any place you say.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay, we have a secretary. But we all pay attention to the time. Maybe you're better off if you don't understand it.
This is the mouth of the river, we'll call it Wide River. And 1601 was chapter 601, 16-foot elevation. Mine runs pretty much along like this, straight across the mouth of the Bates River. But it says that the Bates River is at the elevation back in here. Is below the 16-foot elevation line, and that this line here, the 16-foot contour line, or shall not extend inward in these areas farther than 300 foot from the 5.7-foot contour line. So that's the limit, and it pretty much goes straight across.
Excuse me, Gordon, that 5.7, what is that, feet or?
Yeah, feet, 5.7.
And where is it measured from?
Thank you.
Sergeant, if we accept the coordinates as they now are, then that would include that top line.
Yes, it does. Yeah, and that's where most of the problem comes,
in here on private land. I think that they told us there was on 3,700 acres of private land that were transgressed by this 1045 line. That means this, maybe somebody has a boundary line that runs out here, transgresses it. 1,200 of those are in Lincoln County, and I'm sure great. The balance of them, probably in George's County. And when you go in here, Tom Young asked the question, how many more acres are transgressed by 1045 than were by 1601? And they said there are more. But they couldn't tell us how much more. Well, this is where they took the rest of it. They go from there.
Okay. Any questions?
This went in, the mechanic and whatever